Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Last week we started a new segment of Jesus' jargon, and we're calling it "Let's Get Personal."
Yeah.
And we started things off defining our relationship with God. So what is that? What does it look like? And how's it work out? And so we kicked things off looking at, you know, what it really truly means to be in a relationship with God. Now we're going to go into another specific aspect now that we know and understand the interaction of a relationship with God. We're going to look at another specific aspect of being in a personal relationship with God. So let's all stand. Matthew 11, verse 28. Just a few verses. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be gathered together tonight in the midst of our weeks, whether it's been the best week ever or a pretty tough week. We're thankful that you brought us all together here for a specific reason, for the presence that we're able to bring to this room, and then also for the interaction we're able to have with each other, growing deeper in you and fellowshipping with one another. We pray that as the worship has set our hearts on you, now as we turn to your word, that that heart of worship would continue and that you would reveal yourself to us in a new way that we've never seen, and that we would just be able to take as much as you desire us to receive from you this evening. We turn our focus to you, we give you our attention, and we pray that you would just touch our hearts in the way you want to. Fill me with your spirit to speak your word. We pray all this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. So I want to start things off with a question that might seem pretty crazy, because I'm sure this is something none of you ever deal with, but how many of you have ever been stressed out? Oh, wow. I'm shocked. I would have never expected. Yes. I've been stressed. I can't deny it. I've been very stressed at different times in my life. And it's a very common thing. It's a common thing that we deal with. Even growing up, it's something that we deal with. There's stressors that we face as we mature and grow up. But did you know that stress actually has physical negative effects on you? Did you know this? Let me tell you why. So, one, there's these type of stressors we have that are quick in the moment. So like when you're driving and someone slams on the brakes and you're like, "Oh, no, don't stop that!" Like that type of stress, or when you go on a roller coaster and you're going down and it's like, or it's taking you up and you're like, "Oh no, oh no, oh no." And then it goes and you're like, "Oh no!" Those stressors. What happens when we get way too much of those stressors, our frontal lobes, the part of our brain that processes like thought and processes what we're gonna do and chooses what we wanna do and thinks about things, they literally get fried by adrenaline. Your adrenaline fries them. So that's why if you ride like 10 roller coasters in a row, that's why your brain all of a sudden is like, "Oh my goodness, I can't think of things." And it's why it might start to hurt a little bit. Like you get that roller coaster headache. It's fierce. I've had those before. It's from the stressors. But then there's also a different kind of stress that can make us physically sick. So this is the type of stress that you get from maybe school, or a stress that you're around all the time. So something that you cannot escape. It's called chronic inescapable stress. It sounds really bad, but it's something we deal with regularly. And what happens when this gets like in your life, when the chronic inescapable stress comes, this chemical called cortisol goes way up in your brain. And what it does is it literally turns your immune system off. It turns the part of your body that fights sickness off. So you get sick super easy. But because it's turned off, you will not know that you're sick until that stress goes away. So that's why so many people during like spring breaks will get this cold. They'll sleep in one day, they'll not be worried, and then the next day they're sick. Because their stressors were turning off their immune system, and then when they got that stress away, it kicked in and they got sick. That's why
It happens relatively regularly.
Now, because stress is such a negative thing that can make your brain literally fried and can make you physically sick, tonight we are going to talk about surrender. Yes, surrender. And this is one of those classic Jesus jargon words that Christians love to throw around. It's like, it's very classic, you know, surrender, just surrender, be surrender. I surrender all, surrender, 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 surrender. But it's not always clearly explained what Christians mean when they say surrender. So what I want to do tonight is explain that, dive deep into the concept of surrender. Surrender means to give up control and to submit to the direction of God. So to give up control of whatever you have and then submit to God's direction. Jesus explains this idea in the passage that we just read using the example of oxen under a yoke. Now, unless you work with oxen on a regular basis, like you're an ox farmer, I don't even know. If you're an oxen worker, you probably do not know what a yoke is. So let me explain. A yoke is a big wooden beam that's placed on usually two oxen, and it's so they can work together. It's kind of like a collar or a harness. They work together to pull the load. So because it's hard, because it's wood, their forces combine under the wood, and then they pull it together. They pull it as a team. That's what's going to work. What's going to work? Teamwork. Teamwork always works. What's, I don't even wonder if it's, yes. And so Jesus says that the things in life that we try to control on our own, the pressures that we put ourselves through, and the goals that we try to attain all by ourselves are like burdens or weights being added to the load that is being pulled by that yoke. And eventually, we will not be able to handle the weight of those burdens. It's pretty much inevitable. If we keep adding and adding weight to those burdens, or if we keep pulling that load on our own, eventually we are going to break down. And that is what happens when people have chronic inescapable stress. Yes, their immune system shuts down, but if stress comes to their life again, that's when people have panic attacks. That's when people have mild psychotic disorders where they start to hallucinate things for a short moment. It's because their stress levels, because they're already stressed as it is, have gone through the roof and they've skyrocketed. And they're sick on top of that. It's crazy. And this is why so many people today experience discouragement. Why so many people are under stress. So many people are under anxiety. And why antidepressants are one of the most prescribed drugs and abused drugs in the United States. Because people are overwhelmed and can no longer handle the burdens that they have placed on themselves and that are being placed on them by outside things. But Jesus offers us a solution to all of this. So tonight, we're going to focus on two main points from our passage. First, two types of burdens that we carry. And then second, Jesus' offer to us. So, two types of burdens that we carry, and then what is Jesus' offer to us? Y'all good with that? You down?
Sure.
Catching what I'm throwing?
No, don't even stop.
Smelling what I'm cooking?
No, no, no.
Okay, so let's dive straight in to the two types of burdens that we carry. The first one are burdens that we place on ourselves. Matthew 28 says, "Come to me, all you who labor." What word? All you who
labor.
Yes. Now, this word implies that there are some burdens that we as human beings place on ourselves. We choose to place them upon ourselves. So this can be areas of your life that you like to be in control of. Maybe it's sports or music or maybe it's art or painting or writing, whatever it might be. This is something like you're all about. Could be skating. And they're things that you enjoy, and so because you enjoy them, you like to be in control of them. But when these things start to go wrong, when they're no longer going the way you want, when you get injured right at the start of baseball season, or when like music doesn't come as naturally as it once did, you hit your like musician's wall, and when songs used to be super easy, oh man, this mic is just it's going crazy. I think I might switch mics. Can I do that? I know this has some.
That's not good.
Check. Hey, can one of you guys unmute this microphone? Is that possible? Check. It's guitar something. Check. Ah, golden. Ah, and it's not breaking. Ah, so good. So, the burdens that we place on ourselves can be things that we like. And when they start to not go our way, like music, it's not as natural as it once was. I remember as a musician, when I hit that, like songs were super easy because we were learning easy songs. But then when you start to step it up, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh my goodness, there's so much to learn. And it's only a 2-minute song. It gets overwhelming. It gets kind of stressful. And so when these things happen, you get injured before a sports season, you can get stressed. Because you were in control of it, and now you've kind of let yourself down, you get stressed, or you get discouraged. These burdens we place on ourselves can also be areas of our lives that we've convinced ourselves we need to be in control of. We need to be in control of these things, like our grades. So often we convince ourselves that we need to be 100% in control of these things that are sometimes way out of our control. Or it's how good we look when we're in public. Like, we need to be in control of how well we are presenting ourselves so that we look good. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe it's your future. You need to be in control of your future. And this is such a big one because everybody wants to make something out of themselves, right? Like, it's almost like deep down inside of our DNA, we want to make something out of ourselves. And in doing that, we convince ourselves that we need to be in control of our future. And the burdens we place on ourselves can be so much more. It can be our friendships, being burdened by the relationships that we have around us. It can be the happiness of our family. So maybe you've convinced yourself that your family's contentment, your family's ability to get along with one another is dependent on you. Or our fight against sin. Maybe you're addicted to a sin, or you've been struggling with a sin for quite a while and you're going up against it, but you just keep letting yourself down and you've convinced yourself that you need to be in control of this sin. As hard as it is, as huge of a hold as it has on your life, you're still going against it. These are burdens that we place on ourselves. But then there's another type of burden. There's two types of burdens. So first, the burden that we place on ourselves, but then also the burden that others place on us. Verse 28 continues saying, "Come to me, all you who labor and are," what? Heavy laden. Who was that? Good job. Chloe. Yes, Chloe filled in the blank. Good job, Chloe. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Now, this word heavy laden, it makes the idea that there's weights that other people are placing on that load that we're carrying. And this can be, one, expectations from other people. So maybe your parents expect you to get a specific grade. Maybe it's B's or above. And if it's below that, you've kind of let them down. You haven't met their expectations. Or maybe they've put expectations on your future. Go to a specific college. Or get into a specific work field. Or raise a specific type of family. Or desire a specific type of whatever it might be. These expectations that have been placed on you. This can also be your friends expecting you to act a certain way. So here you are, growing deeper and more mature as a Christian in your relationship with God, while simultaneously trying to convince your friends or make sure that your friends don't notice any difference. Because your friends are expecting you to always be the same way and act the same way, even though your life is changing. There are so many expectations that people can place on us. And then you also have the media as well, to look a certain way, to be a certain height. Did you know that there's quote-unquote attractive heights? And you cannot control that. I mean, maybe if you drink a lot of milk, but I don't think you can. You cannot control that. But there are these expectations that get placed on us by these outside things. You know, your skin color, how you will look, how you will act as a guy or as a girl. There's expectations for that that we see all around us. And these things, if we continue putting them on the load that we are bearing by ourselves, we will eventually be unable to handle it. We'll eventually let ourselves down in a way that crushes us beyond what we could have ever imagined. Or let the people around us down in a way that also crushes us in a way that we could have never imagined. But Jesus offers hope to us. In a world where there's so much that can weigh us down, and so much that we could burden ourselves with, so much that can crush us, Jesus offers a solution. And that's what I want to look at right now. The solution from Jesus. Jesus' offer to us. Verse 29 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Here, Jesus is offering to replace your yoke with his yoke. And not only that, but he's offering, like we saw in that image of the two oxen pulling that farmer like behind them, he's offering to pull with us, to help us along the way, to guide us, to lead us, to take control over it. He says that this burden that he's wanting to give to us, this yoke that he's wanting to give to us, that it is easy and that it is super duper light. You won't even feel it. It's like the latest Nikes. You don't even feel them on your feet. You're running and it's like they're pushing you off the ground. They're anti-gravity. I don't know anything about Nikes, but it just sounded like the right shoe, right? Nikes?
Nikes are awesome.
I'm all about New Balance, but not for like weight. New Balances are a heavy shoe, except for their running shoes.
They're so light.
No, not usually. Running shoes are good. But he will replace what we are carrying with something that is light, something that is easy. And he says that you will find rest, not a good night's sleep. Maybe you're so stressed out you can't even get to sleep. Not a good night's sleep. He will offer you rest for your soul. That is so invaluable. It's so valuable, there's no value that can be placed on it. Rest for our souls. So this doesn't mean that if you take the load that Jesus is offering you and have it be replaced with yours, that school that you're gonna wake up one day and like the doors of your school are gonna be locked shut and never open again, and you're like, freedom, no burdens anymore. And you go on to write like K-Love songs like that. No more burdens! No, that's not what's going to happen. Or it doesn't mean that when you take the burden that Jesus is offering you, the yoke that Jesus is offering you, that you'll never have to try again in school. Sorry. It's not a get A's quick scheme. But as you go through life with this yoke that Jesus offers us, you will no longer be crushed by the weight of these burdens. They will no longer determine if you are stressed or if you are depressed or if you cannot even get out of bed because of the things that you have to face that day. That will no longer be a thing for you. But in order for this to happen, there's something very important that we must do. We have to surrender. And surrender is a tough thing. It's a little process. And it starts like this. The first step of surrender is you have to give up control of the things that you are carrying. Now that sounds like a piece of cake. Yes, give up control. I love not controlling stuff and it being completely out of my control. But it's not as simple as it sounds. The reason that you like to be in control of sports or music, or that you like to know that you're kind of in control of the grades that you get, is because it's there. It's something you can see. It's something that you can blame when it goes wrong. But if you give the control up, it's no longer all on you. You are no longer in control of this thing that you are carrying. And that can be a little bit scary, especially when it comes to big things like your future. To say, I don't want to be in control of my future. Instead, I want God to be in control. That is huge. To leave that up to Him, not knowing where He might take you, or if you'll even go to a good college, or if you'll even go to a college at all, He might lead you in directions that are totally against the expectations that this world is placing on you. But it's light, and it is easy, and it is the best option that anybody can receive. So the first step is we have to give up control of these things. Your music, however good you are, give up control of it. Your skating, give up control of it. Your, you know, how you look and how you're growing and how, you know, maybe media compares you to other things, give up control of that. What? Give up control of how I look? Yes. That's the first step. Then he says, Jesus says that to surrender to Him, we need to give up control. But then we need to go a step further and give the control to God and follow His leadership. That's huge. And this is something that when you do it, it's not like baptism, where when you've been baptized, you don't need to be baptized again. If you've accepted Jesus into your heart, you don't need to do it again. But when it comes to surrender, this is something you will have to do on a regular basis. I have test anxiety. Anybody else get that? Like bad? Like, I don't know what it is, but I can study hard for a test, but I sit down there and I need buckets to catch my sweat. I'm like, teacher, you got a bucket? And I'm like, I'm sweating, so I'm like taking off layers of clothes and it's like a blizzard outside and it's super cold in there, but I'm sweating, biting off every single fingernail that I've ever grown. Like, yeah, it's crazy. I get crazy test anxiety, and then I'm like the type who, if I don't know it, I come back to it later. And if I don't know it again, I come back to it later and then back to it later. And like, I've gone through my test like 4 times waiting for that answer to come to me. I get it bad. I get it really bad. And so what I've learned is when I go in to take a test, I have to literally pray these words in my head. Lord, I know that I am not the results that I get on this test, and I give You control. I surrender it completely to You and pray that You would be glorified by this, that You would take the control in this situation, that I wouldn't be under, you know, accountable for this because it's huge, and that You would take control. Did I study for it? Yes. Did I put my best foot forward? Yes, because I'm following Jesus as I'm taking this test. But I know that it is Him who is guiding me, that He is right there pulling me along. And if it's not the way that I wanted, at least I did it unto His glory. At least I did it to praise Him and to honor Him. And at least I did it to His name. So we need to surrender. And this is easy in things like tests. Because it's a piece of cake. Like, yes, of course I want to surrender my test to the Lord because it removes the pressure. It removes the anxiety and stuff. But when it comes to things like your family situation, no matter how chaotic it is, how out of control it seems, surrendering that to the Lord and saying, Lord, I have no control over this. I don't even know how to handle this. So I give it to You. And I pray that You would use it to do in my life what You need it to do, and that You would be guiding it every step of the way. That is the best situation your family can be in, to be under the surrender of the Lord, to give that to Him. But it's crazy because you're saying, I don't have control over this. over something so big, your future, to say, yes, I have these dreams and these ambitions that I'm going to work hard for, but I'm going to do it for you, Lord. And if you want to lead me to be a church janitor that like never even gets his name on a plaque, I will do it. I'll do it unto your glory. Or if you want to lead me to be a missionary or to be a mom to a family and never even get on the front page of the newspaper, I will do it unto your glory, surrendering to him. So what I want to do tonight, if we can just dim the lights for a little bit, or turn the lights off is what I mean by dim, and take a couple minutes now in silence to identify the things that you are carrying in your life. It can be something I didn't even name. Maybe it's a specific person that you know, or maybe it's something you really want to do, but your parents aren't letting you, and it's really starting to annoy you and stress you out, and you don't know how to handle it. Whatever it might be, to identify these things, take a couple minutes to do that. But then once you do, we're going to together surrender it to the Lord. And it's not going to be the solution for the rest of your life. You will have to surrender it later. But while we're here, while we're thinking about this right now, I want to give you guys an opportunity to surrender whatever areas of your life you might be carrying. So take a couple minutes, just not a couple minutes, take a minute or less than that to think about it. And then we'll pray together to surrender whatever comes to our mind. Now, what I want to do, as you have these things on your mind and on your heart, I'm going to say a prayer, and you can pray after me. You don't have to pray out loud, but to kind of guide you in the direction of how you can surrender these things to the Lord. So in your head or in your heart, identify these things specifically. I'm going to pray something that's very vague, but be specific. Whatever you need to surrender to the Lord tonight, do it. Don't let this Bible study end without you surrendering that to Him. And pray something like this. Dear God, I am so thankful that you are strong. Even when I am weak, even when I have let myself down, and even when the burdens have weighed me down, you are strong. So Lord, I take these weights that are in my life, these burdens that I am carrying, and I give control to you. And I pray that you would lead me however you want, that you would control these however you want, and that I would follow you every step of the way. In your name we pray. Amen. Let me pray for you guys, and then we're going to break up into small groups. And we've got some tough questions. Not tough, but really be honest. Especially what area of your life is hardest for you to surrender. Every part of my life, right? I mean, if we're honest, there's so many parts of our lives that are just tough to give up control, but let's be open. Let's be honest about that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your yoke that you place upon us, that it is easy, that it is light, and that it gives rest to our souls in a world that is so chaotic, in a nation of so many pressures and expectations placed on us. We can rest on you. And not only find some sleep,
but we can find rest for our soul. Please go before us, we pray, Lord. Let this theme of surrender radiate in our hearts and let it continue to speak to us throughout the week and weeks to come as we surrender ourselves to you each and every day in different areas of our life that we realize we are trying to carry on our own. Please be in our small groups now, Lord. Be the center of this time and be glorified by it. We give this whole theme over to you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. All right, y'all, break up into small groups. Whoop.